T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I guarantee you there is no post-game show, post, you know, like next day football flagship radio station starting with this. Jagged Edge?
Jagged Edge.
Because we try to do the song that we play at the top of every hour, we try to do it to have some relation with that hour's code word. The code word for this hour is Edge. I would have gone with U2. Because Bono and The Edge are the two most recognizable musicians in U2.
Yeah, but nobody knows that, so I went with Jagged Edge.
Right.
What about Living on the Edge of Tomorrow?
How about Living on the Edge from Aerosmith?
Living on the Edge.
No, that's Bon Jovi.
Oh. Living on the Edge. Well, we went with Jagged Edge. Jagged Edge,
because you got to do what you got to do.
That's just getting married.
Falero really, he is trying to produce the worst day after a Dolphins game broadcast in the history of local radio.
That's not nice.
Yeah.
Set your bar high.
Set your bar low.
I mean, I'm getting married in March. Let's get married.
Time for your chance to win $1,000, 560 WQAM's Training Camp 12 a Days. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word EDGE, E-D-G-E, to 72881. You could have even played something like Take It to the House or something like For Edgerrin James, right? If you want to loosely, or Turnover Chain, although he wasn't a defensive player, but maybe doesn't Uncle Luke have a song about the U?
Yeah, the U. It's all about the U.
So for just one player, Edgerrin James. I mean, this literally has Jagged Edge. Like it. The
no, but I'm saying if you're in South Florida and I say, you know, give me, you know, if you're doing word association and I say Edge, don't you think the majority of people in South Florida would say Edgerrin James before the group Jagged Edge?
Yes, but like this has the word in it. We're going loosely off. Oh, let's play Luke Campbell, Edge, because Edgerrin James. It just doesn't make sense.
Okay, I think it makes sense. I think I've put you on blast 4 minutes in.
not very hard to do.
I don't even know what that means. All right, text the word Edge, E-D-G-E, to 72881, and you are registered. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be the top of the next hour. So about 3 o'clock, it's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive, but get in on the winning. Text the word Edge to 72881 right now, 72881. You were there at Hard Rock Stadium last night. You did the pregame show before the Dolphins game. Pretty light on attendance.
I think that rain ruined it.
The rain before the game and then, you know, just preseason game number one. I mean, yes. It is what it is. So, thoughts on Tannehill? Let's start there. Ryan Tannehill, that's, I think, what everybody was kind of looking at. Does he look like a healthy professional quarterback?
He looked good to me. Like, physically. Like, I didn't see him, you know, favoring anything. He was dropping back. They let him throw the ball a couple times. You know what I'm saying? He looked good. The offense wasn't moving. They got stopped and was kicking a bunch of field goals. That was upsetting me. Let's finish in the red zone. Let's get down there and do something. But for the Ryan Tannehill conundrum, I believe he's progressing the way we want him to. Next game, we'll get a little more. Third game, we'll get a little more. But I have no concern for Tannehill's health after watching last night's game.
You know, you mentioned the kicking situation. Just as an aside, and I've said this since Cody Parkey signed that contract with Chicago, I believe the Dolphins' kicking situation is going to be a problem all season long. And you look for a guy consistent like Cody Parkey. And I know the Bears gave him a big contract. It was $10 million. I don't know over how long. But that's going to be a point of concern, especially if Dolphins drives peter out and you need those 3 points. There is something to be said about having a consistent veteran kicker, of which they do not. They've got two young kids, two rookies, and now I'm sure they'll check the waiver wire as kickers get released. But man, that's a part of the Dolphins game that makes me nervous heading into the season.
I kept blowing you off when you initially said it coming into camp. You would bring up the kickers. I'm like, man, Dan Rizzi will figure it out. He'll figure out which one of these kickers can make old 50-yard, and we're going to be locked in. I was concerned last night. Missed the first one, 29-yarder. But, hell, if you can't hit a 29-yarder, you shouldn't even look at a football field. So I believe in the long run they're going to go get a vet, because I don't trust those guys. After I watched them and after you hear they talking about them in camp and talking about them in practice, they're not just banging them through. They have good days and bad days. But a bad day for a kicker can be a loss.
Be a loss.
And we can't have that. We're not blowing teams out. The NFL, most games, 80% of games are 7 points or less. That's how they're decided. We have to get that kicker. I'm sorry for giving you a hard time about the kicker concerns.
Well, I mean, that's something that we see, you know, every season where, you know, even that the Cody Parkey game 2 seasons ago when he was playing for the Browns, I think, and the Dolphins were able to win because he missed.
Yep.
You know, I just think that when you jettison a lot of guys, Ndamukong Suh, Mike Pouncey, Jay Ajayi, obviously gone a season and a half now. Or not a season and a half, half a season, I guess.
Half a season.
I was thinking of when he last played with Ryan Tannehill. Cody Parkey, you add to that, Jarvis Landry, whatnot. When you jettison a lot of guys, like, I get it. Like, position players, if you think that your scheme can overcome losing a particular person because the scheme is more important than the personnel, that's fine. You can believe that. Kicker, to me, like, that is something that can really ruin a season. Tampa's had that issue. Right? I mean, Tampa's had that issue. Remember they drafted that kid?
Florida State.
Yeah, Aguayo, yeah. And then that didn't work out. And, like, it's just not a road that you want to go down. I don't know what the salary cap implications were for Cody Parkey. I know that he got a giant offer from Chicago. I don't blame him for taking it. And I understand that the Dolphins were in a place where they were reallocating dollars elsewhere. But, yeah, that does concern me a little bit.
And with the kick with Jarvis, Albert Wilson looked pretty good. I think Albert Wilson can be that guy to replace Jarvis, and I was impressed with Albert Wilson. His explosiveness, his football savvy, I enjoyed watching Albert play. With Sue, those D linemen weren't playing, but I don't think any of the defense was playing physical. They weren't out there beating nobody up. The run game, running right down their throat. They weren't tricking the Dolphins. They were just turning, handing the ball to the running back, and saying go, and he was jamming it down their throat for 2 touchdowns in the first half. That was embarrassing, but getting over Sue, we're going to have William Hayes come back. Akeem Spence. We got the young guys in, Jordan Phillips, Godchild. You're going to figure it out with 5 guys and peel those 2 guys in. But to the kicker situation, it's just him kicking the ball off the ground. There's no scheme for a kicker.
Right, you either have to be good or you're not.
You can't hide. Oh, Jarvis, you can't throw Albert Wilson the ball 160 times. We have to change the scheme. Kicker, snap, hold, kick, and he's missing them. You just have to find a guy that's good at putting the ball through that big-ass yellow H.
Now, you talk about Albert Wilson. Did anyone feel – now, maybe I'm on an island on this one. I felt like he made a couple quick early catches but then came up and was celebrating, like, too much already. I'm like –
if you love Jarvis, you got to love that. That's all Jarvis did.
But Jarvis was a Pro Bowler that, you know, he delivered.
Jarvis is freshman. Jarvis' rookie year, he was doing that little first down point. They're down by 15. He's doing the first down point. You can't criticize Albert Wilson.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just wondering if anyone noticed that the way I did. The first 2 receptions that Albert Wilson had, I had this immediate reaction of, ooh, like, hey, settle down. What's happening here? We're in a preseason game number one. Like,
jacked up, baby.
I felt like Adam Gase was looking at that going, oh, come on, man. Well, I just got rid of Jarvis Landry. Like,
the one
you're not
when
do
he
that.
Fell down and got back up to go to the first down. That was a play that brings some energy to a team because it was extra effort stuff. So I can see that. The other one, it was a catch.
I mean, it was just a catch. But really, just the falling down and getting up, I mean, it's
doing extra. It's the extra stuff. It's the 110%. That was 110% play.
Okay. All right. I'm not hating. I'm just asking if anybody thought that.
You sound like you're hating.
Yeah,
you
sound like you're hating.
I'm really not. I was just, like, my thought was Dolphins made it very clear they want to change the culture. They want to, and I thought Albert Wilson went out there and kind of looked like Jarvis would look in those situations. That was the only part where I was like, huh, did they do all their research? You know, like, because you know me, I wanted Jarvis.
Yes.
I thought Jarvis was worth the money. And if you're going to get me Jarvis 2.0, but maybe he's not as good as Jarvis, like, then I would say, no, you need to keep Jarvis in that situation. The Marlins are playing?
They are not playing, but there's breaking news in the Marlins organization.
Oh, all right. Anytime the Marlins do something good during our show, Falero breaks in with this song. Now, we haven't had, I don't think,
maybe once?
Once the entire season? And you saw, I thought they might be playing. So what is happening?
Well, I don't know if it's good news, but the Phillies are acquiring first baseman Justin Bour and cash from Marlins for a minor league pitcher.
Prospects, baby.
Woo! Well, why are we playing the celebratory music if Justin Bour just got traded?
It was a bad choice.
Man, what's the pitcher's name?
To be named later.
Well, to be named later, he's coming to the Marlins. I like it.
We like Justin Bour. We just got Justin Bour bobbleheads.
Yeah, we need some prospects.
Yep. Building from within.
Well, no, we're not. We're trading our guy.
Developing guys in the program.
Huh.
Gotta have both sides of the argument, man.
So Justin Bour has been traded.
He's gone to the Phillies.
Yeah, I feel like there would have been a better music choice. Well, that's our celebratory Marlins music, but I'm not celebrating Justin Bour being gone.
But for the future, like, is Justin Bour really, like you said, an asset? You keep your good players and you add around them. I don't think Justin Bour was a good player to base your team around, to build your team around.
You need some guys that can pop some monster dongs.
No, we got rid of him. He's in New York.
No, well, yeah, we got rid of him. Now we got rid of our other monster dong guy.
You can't be mad about Justin Bour.
It's not that I'm mad, but I'm not celebrating it.
He was batting .227.
I'm not, again, I enjoy seeing giant home runs. I enjoy personalities. Dude was eating donuts during the home run derby two seasons ago, right? Like, I like larger than life personalities. Funny that I'm saying that as I just criticized Albert Wilson.
About to say.
Like, hypocrisy much?
You came in today.
What is the
open
difference between Albert Wilson and Justin Bour? Why am I siding with one and not the other?
I know.
To do a checkup from the neck up and see what's wrong with me. No, I again, you're not going to win World Series because Justin Bour is your anchor, but I do enjoy, like, he's one of those guys where I'll watch bat. Because, I mean, what is Major League Baseball about nowadays? Hitting giant dongs.
Did you know he was 30?
Justin Bour?
Yeah.
I did not.
He's 30 years old.
About 30, man?
About 30, man.
We know they're reloading, rebuilding. We know they're starting from the ground up. And you always criticize, we both do it, for teams that always take one piece out. Not everybody, just the GM, add a new GM. Then get a coach, but leave the GM. The Marlins are cleaning shop.
Yeah, no, they did.
If they make that decision, don't you want them to do it the right way?
Well, yeah, you got to go all in, and they are all in.
They're getting rid of everybody.
They are all in. All right, that Justin Bour bobblehead is now worth more or less, depending on who your collectible go-to is. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to talk a lot of Dolphins today. I have some unbelievable sound to play for you today. When I tell you, unbelievable sound. Am I lying, Falero?
He's not lying.
It is unbelievable sound to play for you today. Clay Ferrero, he is a sports anchor and reporter on Local 10. He was there at Hard Rock Stadium last night. I was hoping that maybe he could paint the picture for us on how it felt in the Dolphins locker room, how the fans were reacting to the Dolphins last night. So Clay Ferrero will join us for one of our Ferrero side chats next.
Radio.com.
We are going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, talk to Clay Ferrero, sports reporter, anchor for Local 10, Toyota of Hollywood, buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. I don't know how much of a Marlins fan Clay is as well, but word has come that Justin Bour has been traded to the Phillies. Does that bother you at all, Clay?
No, not at all, actually. I feel like, hey, if you're not planning on signing him long-term, you put him on waivers, the Phillies claim him, and Phillies have a good minor league organization. Yeah, absolutely. Get what you can.
By the way, guys,
I got to start here real fast. You know, Valero's my guy, right? Y'all rip on him, and I cover for him.
Yeah, you do, actually. You sing Valero's praises a lot of the time.
I got a beef today.
Oh, good.
You're going to start the show with Jagged Edge, which I'm totally on board with that. I got the song on my phone right now. Love it. Let's get married. Let's do this. But you're going to play the slow-down R&B version instead of the sped-up hip-hop pop version? Seriously, Fuller? Come on, man. You're better than that.
I didn't put much thought into it. I got into the
studio. No. Just end with that. I didn't put much thought into it. Just end with that. And really, that should be your Twitter bio. I know you and Will Manso have a Miami sports podcast. You should have a podcast, Valero, called I Didn't Put Much Thought Into It. And just whatever you're talking about doing, it all comes back to you didn't put much thought into it.
All right.
That's beautiful. I'd listen to that. I would absolutely listen to that.
Thanks, Clay.
All right, I appreciate. See, this is why I like Clay Ferraro, because he calls it like he sees it.
Yes,
he's a fan of Ferraro, but he's not afraid to say, "Hey, that was wrong." At 2 o'clock, when you started the show with Jagged Edge, you didn't even play the right version of Jagged Edge. I'm with you, Clay. I like that.
I'm serious. I was driving into work listening to you guys. I almost fell asleep on the road. He almost caused death.
And honestly, it's the day after Dolphins preseason game number one. Like, people are, they're ready. Like, they want to go. And then he just wants to lull them to sleep.
Can I tell you how much I love wasting time with you guys? This is my favorite pastime in the entire world.
So you're not upset with Justin Bour going to the Phillies, and you're kind of like Crowder, who says, hey, if you are rebuilding a franchise, even though the Marlins don't like to use the word rebuild, if you're rebuild, do it all the way.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of the ring is the thing, right? So if they're not competing for anything this year, they're not coming close. And now let's wait and see who they get back from the Phillies. But my understanding is that the Phillies have one of the better organizations in baseball, one of the better minor league systems, and you got to figure out who's part of your franchise long term. And I love JT Realmuto. I think it's so hard to find a catcher who's really good defensively and also outstanding as a hitter. So, you know, it's not like you're trading a guy who's incredibly hard to find throughout baseball for nothing, right? So I kind of like, depending on who they got, I got no problem with trading for.
And are they doing it the right way, Clay? Is this the right way to do it, get rid of the old guys, bring in prospects, and see if they develop?
I think they are. In Channing, Will and I have both actually been on this train, and we've gotten ripped on social media for it since the beginning, but I do think they're doing the right thing, and I know that hasn't been a popular stance from the beginning when they traded Stanton and got rid of Dee Gordon and Christian Yelich and Marcelo Zuna. But look, they were not two players away unless those two players were Clayton Kershaw and Justin Verlander. They needed aces, and if you're not going to win right now, build yourself up so you will. Look at the teams that are winning right now. Houston Astros is a perfect example of a franchise that realized, look, we got to start this thing over. And they were one of the worst teams in baseball a few years ago, and look where they are now. They've built up a good farm system. And then you get to the trade deadline. You can trade for guys like Verlander to make that extra push. But they're nowhere close to that now. So, yeah, I'm fine with it.
All right. Justin Bour goes to the Phillies. Marlins get prospects. Clay Ferraro is with us from Local 10. You were at Hard Rock Stadium last night, preseason game one for the Dolphins. First of all, what was the vibe last night? Pretty light on attendance, but the rain probably had something to do with that.
I mean, maybe. I didn't expect much more for the first preseason game anyway. And especially, look, let's be honest. I don't know how much buzz, how much excitement there is right now, fairly or not, because of a lot of the moves that they made. Now, I do understand where they're going with this, and I do think they're going to be better than a lot of the quote-unquote experts say they're going to be. But, I mean, it's hard right now. We actually had, our producer was out at the scrimmage last weekend, Dookie Lang, and he came back. He said, here are the jerseys that I saw out there. Jarvis Landry, Ricky Williams, Ndamukong Suh, no current players. And I think that's kind of where you're at right now, is they've traded away a lot of the most popular guys or not re-signed them. And so what are you left with? And look, if you're trying to build a buzz with the franchise the way they are right now, you got to go out there and win the first few games, because it's not going to be based on the recognizable names and faces that you're used to seeing.
And, Clay, who's going to be the – because like you're saying, Jarvis wasn't the Jarvis Landry that we got rid of 4 years ago. He was just a rookie third-round, second-round pick that we didn't know. Did you see anybody that really you were impressed with that could be that next guy? Because I'm an Albert Wilson guy. He had two catches. Hawk got on him for celebrating too much.
I don't want to. I don't want to overplay, because he wasn't really even celebrating. He was just kind of like, you know, give me some noise. Give me some whatever. I thought throttle it back. But you know what? I want to go back on my opinion, because I almost feel like I'm Joe Buck when Randy Moss did the fake mooning thing and Joe Buck was like, that is disgusting and whatever. And in hindsight, it wasn't. It was silly. I retract my criticism of Albert Wilson.
Well, thank you. But no, Clay, who's that?
I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I have sources that tell me that you were actually screaming, get off my lawn.
I know, it's not. I'm just, you know what? It wasn't my criticism of Albert Wilson. I just thought it was funny that they got rid of Jarvis Landry, and it's all, you know, has to do with culture, and it was exactly the same thing, kind of.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, the culture argument, I'm not sure exactly what that is. I don't think that Gase has any problem with guys celebrating, especially as a team, and trying to get each other fired up. I'll tell you the thing that fired me up, and I'm with you, Channing. The thing about Wilson that I don't think we saw with Landry, two things. Number one, he's got a burst and a suddenness that we've seen in camp, and I thought it was on display last night. And then also, the distance speak. You know that Landry is lacking that. Well, I think he's got both. What we saw last night in the game was that suddenness, that burst, that ability that once he gets the ball, he's going to find a way to get those couple of extra yards in the short area quickness part of it. But then also, you're going to see him take it deep, too. So he was the guy that really stood out to me. I'll tell you this, too. In the crowd, there were some oohs and ahs on that that leaping incompletion in the end zone to Mike Gesicki. I think you saw it in his college highlight tapes at Penn State that, man, that guy is an unreal athlete. And we've seen a little bit of it at camp, but, I mean, that ball was a good, 4 or 5 feet over his head, and he still almost found a way in full pads to get up and get it. So I think those are the two guys that stood out to me on offense. But, I mean, again, we're talking about a couple of series for the starters, one for Tannehill. So we'll find out more as the preseason goes on.
If Gesicki would have come down with that ball, he would have sold 3,000 jerseys that evening at Hard Rock Stadium. I'm not kidding you, man, because we're waiting. Like, we were, like, if that dude came down with that one-handed grab, this place would have been bonkers.
Well, I'll tell you what, again, you go back and you look at his highlight tapes. He did that. He did that a lot at Penn State. And I think he made Trace McSorley look a lot better than he really is. And not that McSorley's bad, but, man, some of the plays that he made, they're jaw-dropping. And I feel like there's a lot of Antonio Gates with him. I feel like coming over from a different sport, he's still kind of learning the game. Obviously, didn't switch nearly as late as Gates did, but he played volleyball and basketball. Those were, you know, that's where his pedigree is, and you see the athleticism from those sports translating, I think, to the field. And once he puts it all together, I do think he's the type of explosive guy that's going to get guys fired up. You're right.
Clay, Hawk already comes with the get off my lawn stuff. Now I'm going to be the old back in my day football player, but are they physical? Are the Dolphins a physical team? Because they didn't look like they were really tearing nobody's heads off or really trying to violently disrupt things yesterday. Was that me, or did you see a lack of physicality?
No, if you're going on one preseason game, absolutely. And to be honest with you, the offensive line is still my biggest concern about this team. I think we can sit here and talk about Ryan Tannehill day after day, hour after hour, and scrutinize every little thing that he does. But the bottom line is, if he doesn't get the right kind of protection, and if that offensive line up front isn't physical enough to keep him protected, then absolutely, it's a real problem. Again, though, I still wonder, what are you doing in the preseason? I mean, you know that defensive line is, they're not game planning, they're likely not run blitzing, they're not stunting, they're not scheming, so is it just a mano-a-mano thing, and is it just you're trying to play your gaps, play your lanes at that point? Without being in those meetings, it's kind of hard to tell. But, yeah, if you're going on the one-game sample size, I think both sides of the line definitely need to get a little more physical.
Clay Ferrero from Local 10 is with us. Any other people jump out at you? I thought, you know, and again, I take it all with a grain of salt. Sonoris Perry looked really good towards the end of the game, but Crowder said to me, you know, he said to me since I've been on the air with him, if you can't look good at the end of preseason game number one, then you're a scrub because you're playing against scrubs. But I thought Sonoris Perry looked good at the end of the game.
He did, and I'm biased being a Virginia Tech graduate, but Isaiah Ford is a guy that I've watched a lot, watched him in college, watched him in camp last year and then this year, and he's not the fastest, he's not the quickest, but his hands are like Velcro, and he's super smart, guys. He understands the route leverage that goes along with playing the receiver position. He's ahead of the game there, and I'd like to see him kind of make those plays at the end of the game last night. But again, like Kenny, you just don't know. You don't know, is it because you're going up against guys that are blowing their assignments, or, you know, it's just a matter of you're better than the guys that are going to be off finding something else to do in a couple of months. I do think the interesting thing with Tannehill, because that's what everybody was watching, Adam Gase kind of downplayed after the game that opening play calls it off. Well, that's just what we like. They rolled him out. He found Kenny Stills. I thought it was interesting because it said a couple of things. Number one, we're going to get Ryan Tannehill on the move and show everybody that knee is fine. We're going to give him a very defined read on the play that likely Stills is going to be open. And this is the most important thing I've felt. You know that nobody's blitzing on the first play of the game. This way, the only thing that's going to kill you on a rollout like that is if the other team brings a blitz and all of a sudden quarterback turns around, he's got a linebacker in his face. Well, this was a way to get him out, keep him safe, and also get him a little bit comfortable, get his feet wet. So I'm curious going forward, do they let him stand in the pocket a bit more? Those are the things I'm going to be watching for.
We keep talking about Gesicki. He was a second-round pick. What about the first-rounder? I don't get a lot of bad reports about Minkah Fitzpatrick, but I also don't get a lot of good reports, Clay.
I also think he's the type of guy that once you start scheming, once you start making checks, he's super bright. He's always in the right place. And with the way NFL rules are now for the safeties, I don't know that you necessarily want a guy whose best attribute is going to go out there and knock someone's head off. Now, he does have that ability to be really physical, but he's so smart. He's so quick to the ball. I don't know that the things that make him great, that made him great as a college player, that the Dolphins are hoping make him great as a pro, are really going to show up in preseason games. I think you have to wait until, all right, you're out there, you're game planning, and you have a guy back there who really knows what he's doing, can read the offense, kind of pick out what he sees and what he thinks is about to happen. But yeah, I think as the preseason wears on, maybe in game three, you'll see a little bit more of what's supposed to make him great.
Clay Ferrero, Local 10, a Ferrero side chat. We always enjoy having him. You were at Hard Rock Stadium last night. Will Local 10 send either you or Will to Carolina for the next Friday night preseason game, or preseason game number two doesn't rate air travel and live reports from the city?
Yeah, no. We don't do the preseason thing. I'll tell you where we will be though. LSU, Miami. Opening night,
yeah.
Night before Labor Day. That's what we're already gearing up for. That I think this season's going to be fun for the Canes. I know we have all the next month to talk about that, but that game's the one I've really got circled. And come on, it's preseason NFL. There are things that we can look at and try to pick apart, but. When we get going with the Canes, that's when we're really going to start. Running.
Will you and Will Manso both be out in Dallas for that LSU game?
We're still discussing. I think it's going to be Will at this point, and I think that's because I drew the short straw because I've got to cover a game at Jerry World before, and I was kind of telling him, look, you got to do this, got to do this, and he's like, all right, well, since you've already been out there, I need to experience it.
And he's a UM grad, too. Like, he wears the colors proudly.
That's right, that's right. But we're going to go full-on pregame show for that, getting everybody fired up. It was really good for us last year because you know, we're used to covering the Heat and doing a whole bunch with them. But it's been a little while before the National, before ABC, since ABC National picked up their games. So when we started getting all the notes that ABC was showing these Canes games in primetime, we're like, all right, finally, we got something back.
Yeah, man, September 2nd can't get here soon enough. Hey, is Clay, that when it is?
Clay, don't let that Will muscle you now. You might have to slap Will now. I don't know if he's a tough dude.
Well, remember, Clay is on the rise because he got that award. Yeah, so Will's feeling the heat a little
bit. Clay, you might have to put your hands on him.
All right, full disclosure, guys, since I feel like I can be honest with you, and I know nobody's listening, nobody from our place is listening right now, and I can, you know, I feel like in these Fireside Chats, we can be honest. Virginia Tech plays Florida State the next night. I don't want to be on a plane. I don't want to be trying to find a place where I can watch that game in Dallas if we end up staying over. I want to be in the comfort of my own home where I can yell at the television for my Hokies. And when they make a terrible play, I can yell and scream and not have to worry about being arrested or something.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. That's honesty. That's the honesty you expect from Clay Ferrero. Clay Ferrero, Local 10. Thank you, Clay.
Take care, guys.
Clay Ferrero there, Local 10. Let's take a quick break here. We will come back the day after Dolphins preseason game number one. We'll keep talking about it.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Here's 10 things, according to the Sun Sentinel, that we learned last night about the Dolphins game. Number one, Buccaneers went after Xavien Howard. This is actually a fairly astute observation, I think. Many have been impressed with Xavien Howard's ability to make receiver Devontae Parker invisible during practice the past 3 weeks, but that apparently didn't concern Tampa quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick, who went after Miami's top cornerback on the first drive. Receiver DeSean Jackson caught an 18-yard pass on Howard. Tight end Mike Evans caught a 25-yard pass on Howard. And you start to wonder now, is Devontae Parker making himself invisible during practice? And it's not as much Xavien Howard as we thought.
They got a whole year of film on Xavien Howard. They're not watching camp. They're watching last football season when they're breaking down these guys, and they had to have seen a weakness because I saw it too. Ryan Fitzpatrick was coming from under center, staring over there at Xavien Howard and throwing the ball to his man. So they had to have seen something with film they watched last season about Xavien.
Number two, Miami's ground game gets in gear. The Dolphins had a respectable day rushing the football against Tampa, gaining 87 yards and scoring one touchdown on 15 carries in the first half. Kalen Ballage gained 37 yards on 9 carries. He did fumble after... that hurdle, right? He was hurdling, which was a great hurdle, by the way. He lost the ball on his own, too. Didn't even get hit.
He let it go.
But I thought he looked all right. I mean, they used him a lot, but I thought he looked all right. Like I said with Clay, I thought Snorris Perry looked pretty good when he got chances to rush the ball.
He's big. Caleb Lodge, a big old boy. He's 237 or something. He's a grown man. I like that because Kenyon Drake's not a pounder. I like the fact that Caleb Lodge is a big guy and he's athletic. So that fumbling situation, it can be addressed. Remember the whole Tiki Barber thing where he had to learn how to hold the ball high under his chin and all? So that can be addressed. But I was impressed by Caleb Lodge. But to my point I make, he was playing against nobodies. I need to see him against some grown men.
Number three, Dolphins first team offense put together a respectable drive. Dolphins first team offense was on the field for 11 snaps. Ryan Tannehill's unit produced an impressive drive, even though it didn't end with points. Miami starters committed one penalty. That was Juwan James on that holding call. Tannehill completed 4 of 6 passes for 32 yards. The offense converted a 4th and 1 from the 39-yard line when Kenyon Drake gained a couple of yards there. And he had gained like 9 yards on that draw play, the play prior to that.
Beautiful jump cut.
Which, by the way, is one of those plays that you scream your head off when they run the draw, and then all of a sudden it works, and you're like, oh, yeah, way to catch him off guard on that one. So that's one of those fan reaction
no,
plays.
No. Yes!
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 Go! Go! Drive ultimately stalled at the 35-yard line. Jason Sanders missed the 53-yard field goal attempt. But that first drive, it wasn't bad.
Like, no, no.
That was pretty good.
You kind of saw a new style of offense, real quick passes, get it out, let the athletic guys, you know, get up the field, get some yards. Short passes that already runs as well as the couple runs they did. But, yeah, I saw a lot in that first drive. I just get frustrated when they get down in the red zone or in that edge of the red zone. It seems like they stalled, and they stalled last year. They have to address that the rest of the preseason.
Number four, according to the Sun Sentinel, David Fales outshines Brock Osweiler in the backup quarterback competition. I watched the Dolphins game this morning. I was at the Imagine Dragons concert last night, but during the concert, I got a text from Falero that just said, Osweiler sucks. So I had like a sneak preview of what I was going to be watching.
Dude is 6'8 and keeps hitting the line.
That part is shocking. Like 6'8 is ridiculously tall, right? But you want your quarterback, but I still have this belief in Brock Osweiler because he was so good for a very small portion of his NFL career. But I'm telling you, I'm watching the Imagine Dragons concert and I didn't even text back to get any kind of context for it or whatnot. I was like, okay, something moved Eric Folero to text me, Osweiler sucks. And so I waited till I watched this morning, and I did think David Fales probably outplayed him last night.
When he has to move his feet, and honestly, I think it has to do with the negative to his size. When he has to move his feet, when he's not just five-step drop release, I think that length messes him up because, yeah, that's embarrassing to be 6'8 and hit a lineman in the back of the head. You should be. And he puts his arm up. His arm is at 9 feet. There's nobody 9 feet tall. He has that little ugly quick release, and I think it's hurting him. David Fales, if it goes where it is now, David Fales will be the backup this year.
And I think that's kind of where Adam Gase has it in his head, right? Because didn't he have that soundbite where he had to be talked into bringing Osweiler in anyway? So my guess is, unless things change dramatically over the next three preseason games, you've got Ryan Tannehill as your starter and David Fales as the backup, and I don't know who would be the practice squad quarterback, unless they keep three quarterbacks.
No, especially if it's Brock. They didn't learn from Houston and the Browns' mistake, but they will when he keeps throwing the ball and busting linemen in the back of the head.
Number five, according to the Sun Sentinel, defending the tight end remains a soft spot for Miami. Miami's defense has struggled covering tight ends for the past few seasons, and Cameron Brate's performance Thursday night showed that the position will likely remain an issue for the Dolphins. Brate caught 5 passes for 48 yards, helping quarterback Jameis Winston have an efficient showing with his second-team offense. Tight end Alan Cross caught a 10-yard touchdown on safety Jordan Lucas in the third quarter. Miami needs to figure out whether this tight end issue, which apparently carried over from last season, is scheme or talent related.
I'll say about the linebackers, not just about covering tight ends, but what I saw with the linebackers last night, they're athletic guys. Stephon Anthony's very athletic. He doesn't know what's going on. And I don't know if Matt Burke's not doing a good job or if they know and they get in the game and they, you know, have brain farts, I guess you call it, whatever that crap is, but they look confused. And even on the rushing touchdown, Jerome Baker went in there. He took the play on the right shoulder. The running back ran right past him. Like, you knew exactly what to do. Now go make a play. It seems as if Jerome Baker came out and said post-game, he said, the game is slowing down to him right now. I hope it continues to slow down because they physically can play at this level. Chase Allen and all those young backers they have, Raekwon McMillan. But it doesn't seem like they fully understand what's going on, and that slows them down to play, and it makes them miss a lot of plays. They were making the right fit and just not making a play, which is so frustrating.
Number six, according to the Sun Sentinel, we covered this at the beginning of the show. Concern at kicker continues. Jason Sanders, the former New Mexico kicker, the Dolphins drafted in the 7th round this year, is supposed to have a strong leg. Problem is, it's not a very accurate leg, which was evident during his college career, where he converted only 25 of 35 field goal attempts. Sanders missed a 53-yard field goal try in the first quarter. Greg Joseph, the former FAU standout, competing with Sanders to make the 53-man regular season roster, put one of his kickoffs out of bounds, which I thought Darren Rizzi was going to explode when that happened. But yeah, kicker, we covered it. It's a concern.
It seems like some teams really value a kicker and the Dolphins don't.
No, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. They feel like, hey, bring someone in and they'll be able to kick.
The reason why the Chargers didn't make the playoffs last year is because of kickers.
There's plenty of times where you can go back and look at a game and say that was the difference and that came down to a field goal.
We're bringing in guys and seeing what they got. But I honestly believe it's a trust in Darren Rizzi. So, Rizzi, tighten this boy up now. Old Jason Sanders, what's the other guy? Gregory Joseph. Gregory Joseph, yeah. They got to get one of them going, man, because you will be – how dumb will you feel if you go and play the Patriots and you have the ball on the 35 to win it and you miss that field
My guess is neither of those guys are the kicker come opening day, right? Neither of those guys.
I'll bet with you.
I think it's a veteran kicker. Number seven, Raekwon McMillan has a first-game do-over.
Last year, McMillan, the Dolphins' 2017 second-round pick, lasted all of one special team snap before he tore a ligament in his knee and was sidelined for the entire season. McMillan has worked hard to put himself in position to be Miami's starting inside linebacker in his preseason debut, featured one tackle in his first quarter of work. McMillan played in Miami's base and nickel package, which means he's going to be an every-down player for defensive coordinator Mac Burke.
Like I said, all those linebackers need to play faster. Raekwon's a big guy, strong, powerful, healthy, not even wearing a knee brace, but they need to understand the ins and outs of the defense because they're not making the plays they're supposed to make. They're around the area, but they're just not making plays. It was frustrating watching those two rushing touchdowns. Because guys were open. They were unblocked and just couldn't get to the play, couldn't make the play.
Number 8, according to the Sun Sentinel, Minkah Fitzpatrick makes the most of his opportunity. Miami's 2018 first-round pick has a quiet start to training camp, but Thursday's game provided the former Alabama standout an opportunity to work with the starting unit because Rashad Jones was held out. During his playing time, Fitzpatrick was active, contributing two tackles and one breakup of a pass intended for receiver Chris Godwin that Fitzpatrick dislodged with a physical hit along the sideline.
One of these teams coming up are going to pick on him and see what he got.
Yeah.
And that's what I can't wait. I can't wait till they put him in. They jumping down in that nickel position or put him outside. And a team says, just like they did Xavier Howard, let's go see if Minkah Fitzpatrick can really cover, if he really knows the whole route tree.
Number 9, Jerome Baker has an active showing. I think you talked about Jerome Baker a little bit. And number 10, the Dolphins need something to sell fans. Preseason games usually don't drum up a ton of excitement, but Thursday night's game against Tampa Bay appeared to be one of the lowest attended exhibition games in years. There were plenty of empty seats. The threat of rain probably motivated some with tickets to stay home, but if this is an indicator of apathy for the 2018 Dolphins, it's going to be concerning to management. Yeah, I don't want to jump to a conclusion, but I did point out the same thing. I thought it was very sparsely attended last night, but the rain had a lot to do with it. And again, it's preseason game number 1. I think preseason game 3 is at home. That's the dress rehearsal, and I think you'll get a better feel for the Dolphins. That's the Ravens. So the Ravens are here on the 25th. That's preseason game number 3, and we'll get a better gauge. Next preseason game is Friday, week from today. Carolina Panthers. They host the Miami Dolphins. That is a 7:30 kickoff next Friday. We will have our pregame coverage starting at 3:30 in the afternoon. We'll take a quick break. Day after Dolphins preseason game 1. We'll come right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.